Okay, in 1 Corinthians 14, let's start in verse 40, which that's the very end. And then we're going to go to verse 1. You know, we talked about last week in chapter 13, everybody considers 1 Corinthians 13 the love chapter. And it is a love chapter. But the reason why chapter 13 is there is because he's talking about the power gifts from chapter 12, now going into explaining chapter 14. And this is why, if you look at verse 40 and 14, it says this, but all things should be done how? Properly or decently and in order. There's a reason why Paul wrote this. He didn't write it because this was just something that was really fine to do. He's writing a letter instructing a congregation in Corinth how to conduct, how they conduct their worship service, how they're conducting their business, how they're conducting Shabbat, and all of this. I've had people ask me this. You know that whenever the Holy Spirit fell in Acts 2, and it said this was prophesied as unto Joel. Remember that? It said young men will dream dreams. The girls will dream the dreams, young men see visions, or vice versa. And they'll say, well, wonder when that's going to happen. It has happened. It happened in that day. And it's going to happen again. And this is what the prophecy was and what the Father's going to do. His Spirit has been poured out from time to time over certain people in certain generations. But understand this. Let me give you an example. Were the children of Israel promised the promised land? Yes. The answer is yes. Did they go in with Joshua and take the promised land? Yes. They didn't get it all, but they did. But the prophecy was is that they would go in and he would have a land for them. But guess what? They didn't keep it. See, the Holy Spirit was poured out during the time of the apostles. During the time, there was great restoration that was happening. The Gentiles, the nations were coming in by myriads, and they didn't really know what to do with all the Gentiles coming in because they were having to unlearn all of these gods that they had to understand that there was only one true Elohim, that there wasn't many Elohims out there, and that's what they had. But guess what? Through the second century, through the third century, and right on down, they lost what was happening to them. Azusa Street happened back in the early 1900s. It started a reformation, and it started back. The gifts of the Spirit are the power gifts. But this is why I have it up here. But it's called orderly worship. Today is orderly worship of how the Father can use through tongues and interpretation. And we're going to read some of the scriptures about how all of this works. I understand this because we are a salad bowl in this congregation. We're made up of Baptists and Methodists and ex-Catholics, recovering Catholics, I think as Roy says, and Assembly of God, Church of God. That's right. That's right. United Pentecostal, Seventh-day Adventists. We're a wide Church of God. Man, we're just a salad bowl. We got a little lettuce, a little onion, you know. We leaving the celery out that door. I don't know what religion celery's part of, but we're going to leave it out the door. No, we not. Celery's invited too. If it's, oh my goodness, case the visitors. I don't care for celery. Celery just gets on my hands. I can't get it off. Now, if you cook it where you kill it, I'm good. I can eat it that way. But fresh, man, it just pops. But anyway, it's all about orderly worship, and that's what chapter 14 is about. Because if you notice, when you read chapter 14, you don't see him go into detail about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, miracles, healings. Most people don't have a problem with that. But sometimes when you get into the tongues and interpretations, we're starting to get a little bit, man, what's going on here? Because like I said, I was raised Baptist in the 70s, and tongues was of the devil. And that was the way I was raised. So naturally, whenever I went to church, whenever I was dating Tammy at the time, and they said, let's pray. I didn't know everybody prayed at one time. But everybody prays at one time. And I mean, they're just all out. And I'm like, somebody, he can't understand what's going on. I can't understand what's going on, but I wasn't raised that way. I was raised, you sit on your hands, you didn't raise your hands and all of that. Didn't make it right, didn't make it wrong. But what I'm saying is the Father, during that time, had a move that happened during the 60s and 70s that he was doing something in the body of Messiah. Then we went into charismatic. Then we went, like I always say, nomadic. And then we end up in Hebrew roots. Amen? Let's go to verse 1. Now, we talked about in 13, first thing it says what in verse 1? Pursue love. So he's telling you in this letter, because I know he didn't have chapter and verses, but this is so important because he's telling you without love. Remember last week when I had them play how great they are in all different keys? They all picked the key and they just got after it, and it was utterly horrible. Nobody, and it was grating and all of that. But that's what this is talking about. If you don't have love, and if you're not pursuing this with love intended, then you're going to grate somebody. You might have a right word, but without love, it's not going to penetrate and do what it does to the recipient, the one who is to be receiving that word. I don't want to miss anything from the Father. But at the same time, and I definitely don't want to sit here and miss it because I don't like somebody because they're rough. But there again, I need to suck it up, buttercup, and understand that if somebody has a true word, I have to understand the word is not coming from this individual. If it's coming from the Father or the Holy Spirit, I need to weigh that out because I don't want to miss something that the Father's trying to tell me, whether it's a warning, whether it's a blessing, whether just because it comes from somebody that I'm not comfortable with. Amen? Because it might work that way too. Because I've seen it work a lot of different ways. It's amazing that we're talking about this and the Spirit moved the way it did today. Because it's exactly what chapter 14 is all about. But he's just awesome like that. I even heard the word come out of when Tony was being led by the Spirit. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. It came out of his mouth. Comes right out of Scripture. Pursue loves, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. These are the power, especially that you may prophesy. So out of all these gifts, he's telling us that prophecy is important. There's been some people in here that has needed a job. They've been praying, and there's some people here that's gotten their job. Amen? But here's the thing. It's not that you get a job. You have to get the right job. You have to get the right job so that you can honor and fulfill what he tells us to do in his word. It's not just to get a job. It's to get the right one. I know with Casey, I'll just use him as an example. He's praying about the Father where he is supposed to be. Now, I'm praying for Casey. Now, Casey knows where I'm going here. I'm definitely praying against Tupelo. Amen. I'm praying for Hattiesburg. I hope his parents are helping me out with some of these prayers. Amen. Get some amen. Praying. Again, that's right. That pew needs to get on your knees. That's right. Amen. So what I'm saying is, but Casey's fixing, he's a doctor and he's fixing to, do his, is it internship? Is that what it is? Okay. And so he's got these different places. Well, naturally, selfishness here wants him here. Anybody can play the trumpet, like I said, with a plunger. You good. Amen. That's the kind of doctor I need. Amen. But really and truly, I just use him as an example, and I hope he doesn't mind. But the thing about it is, it's not that you get, it's where you do your intern. That is awesome and majorly important. He wrote this little thing about the medicines, what medicines are kosher. We need that in this body. This body has many members in here that has different talents in here. And these spiritual gifts are no different than every one of you have a talent in here. I can do AC work and I can wire. I tell you, I cannot build. I can help you build, and there's no excuse for me not to be able to hold a board. Don't let me, like Jeremiah says, don't let me around a saw. Don't let me cut it because it's not right. I don't know. Don't give me the dumb end of the tape. Don't let me read all of them little marks between a quarter or a half because I don't know what them little numbers are. You know what I'm saying? I know you can help me. Great. I'm 60 years old, and I'm just telling you, I don't care what them little bitty marks are in between it. You give me a quarter, you're going to build something, build it on a quarter, a half, a three quarter, and I'm good. All them little eighths and 30 seconds, and I ain't about all that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest where I'm at. But I can help you. We talked about Arnold. I'm not a farmer, but I can help him do what he needs to do. That's what the body's about. See, even though we have our expertise, that's when we step up. When somebody's hot, they'll say, hey, my AC's down. I can help you with that. And a lot of you don't know. But you look at, you see wires. And then you go in there and you go, what was that? Don't stick your hand in there. You can get bit. You know what I'm saying? But I can help. That's our part. The spiritual gifts are the same way. Everything is orderly. Everything's done in order because it's the way the Father organized. Everything has to be in order. So you see, pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially you may prophesy. All right, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to who? Not to men. So you're noticing here that this tongue is not just a language like English, Spanish, Portuguese, if that's a language, just whatever the other languages are. Turkey fork, they got their language out there. Amen. So anyway, you don't understand what I'm saying. But it says, he who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to Elohim. How many people in here would like to speak to Elohim? Sort of awesome. But that's what being, look, like I said before, I don't want anybody to misunderstand this. If you have Yeshua as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. But there is an infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that, it says desire that. And we need to desire it. Because we need, there's sometimes when we're praying, we prayed that today. The 91-year-old lady. I'm sitting up here. I prayed in the spirit for her. Because I don't really know. I need his will. I don't want anybody. Look, when you're, I know my mom. I'm going to use my mom as an example. That was one thing. When my mom got to be 93, like I said, the year before when she picked out her casket for her birthday, I'm like, Mom, I ain't going. So Hannah and my sister Linda went. Y'all go. And she had a great time. I mean, picked out a beautiful casket. Had all of that, I'm just like, this ain't right. I was having a hard time with that because she's preparing, but really she wasn't preparing for the end. She was preparing for the future. But it's hard to let go. It's hard to see it that way. So I told Hannah and them, y'all go and have fun and y'all go out and eat and celebrate. But the thing about it is I needed to really and truly be about the celebration because that's what Mom wanted to do. See, it wasn't about me and what I thought. It was about my mom and what made her happy. Because she knew. She knew because a year later, you know, she passed on. Now, we was there with her and we helped her and I fed her. We brought her food and we did our thing. But here's the thing. And my sister said it. We want our mom to go with dignity. That's what she wanted to do. She knew, like, I'm 93. I mean, what am I fixing to do? I'm not running for office. You know what I'm saying? There's not really. I'm here in my house. Y'all come and visit. I'm getting weak. And it's just time for me to go. And that's a hard thing to do, but that's why sometimes my selfishness, but I have to know, I didn't know how to pray. So I pray in the spirit because it's saying you're praying straight to him because I need his will to be done. In her life, regardless of, look, nobody wants to lose their mother. Nobody wants to lose their father. Nobody wants to lose anybody. But sometimes his will, and that's what praying in the spirit is really about. Sometimes we don't know. It says, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. And that is a true case. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speak to the people, their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. So this is what I was really putting up here. Pursue love. We desire, especially to prophesy, but it's all about order and the how-tos. But the whole thing is the gifts, every one of these gifts are about building up the congregation. You have to understand that when you're used in the gifts, and the gifts, it has a goal and a meaning. It's not you just get up there and do something. It's about building up. It's about building strength in this congregation. Look, we went through some time of sickness. We have this prayer deal, and let me just say the testimony from Eddie. Taking up a love offering and sending to his dad who's got cancer. Our money connects us, guys. I don't know how else you want to say it. It does. When everybody can do a little bit and we can send, we're talking about Eddie, like he said, he's never heard his father even pray, mention prayer, God, or anything. And when I heard him read that note, I'd have thought he'd have been a preacher. You know what I mean? But you can see, because I'm going to tell you, there's something about sickness to when somebody thinks they're fixing to die or something's fixing to kill them, they can start getting their things in order. Vietnam, there was people that said, They've never met too many atheists in foxholes when they're being attacked. Because I can tell you, if you're in a foxhole and you're fixing to die, somebody praying to somebody. You praying. You may not know what you're praying, but you praying. You praying because something in there. Look, death is an enemy. Death is an enemy. We were born to live. We were born to have life in us. We were created to never die. He created Adam not to die, but sin entered in, and it says the wages of sin is death. But Yeshua come in here so that we won't have to face that second death. In the Old Testament, for those who were believing that the Messiah was come, there was faith there that the Father was going to do what he said to Abraham. And today we're believing that it has come. And we're putting our faith. This is what this is about. So we know we have that in our life, but guess what? We're here in a crazy, dysfunctional place. You're going to impeach the president, but you ain't going to send the articles to the Senate. Are we crazy? We got to do this before Christmas so that we can make sure that he don't get reelected. But yet, you're getting him because he's tampering, you said, in an election. But yet, you got to impeach him so he don't get reelected. I'm like, you know, I almost had to take something to listen to the news. I couldn't figure out. And then you're going to impeach him, and then you're going to say, well, we're going to hold the articles of impeachment because we're afraid the Senate, you're not going to do it right. You know what? It ain't your place. You do what you do, and you send what you need to over there, and they'll figure out their job. That's the whole thing about having the three powers, and they're all separate. But you got one group of people, five, trying to run everything. Even the church. Even the believers. Oh, they'll try to find a way. Oh, yeah, they praying, ain't they? They praying. Pursue love, that's all I can say. Yeah, because my blood pressure gets up sometimes, you know, with that. Because I do. It's so frustrating. It's frustrating. But do you know, I hate to say it, but the church as a whole sometimes, when they're saying that this is okay and that's okay, when it's just flat out in the scriptures, thou shalt not. It's like, what part of thou shalt not don't we understand? Elohim, you know, on the billboard. Thou shalt not commit adultery, God. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what part of not committing adultery don't you understand? Or thou shalt not murder. It's just like, what is going on? But the spiritual gifts are given to us so that we can function as a body, so that we could build one another up. Because the thing about it is, when we need healing, I need healing. When I need a word and when I'm praying and I'm asking the Father, you know, what job do I take or what am I supposed to do in my career move or what's happening? I get blindsided with something. I don't know. Life is good. Life is perfect. And the next thing you know, I'm homeless or whatever happens. I need to start praying. And this is what Tony was saying here in that word. You don't come here on Shabbat. You start getting ready on the first day of the week. You start praying on the first day of the week for this service next week that we're going to have on Shabbat. And you pray. Now, there's a lot of people in here that's been baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence speaking in tongues. But do you speak in tongues every day? Do you talk to the Father every day? Because, see, a lot of times we'll sit here and say, well, you need to be. You need to be. Mark, you need to be. Well, he could turn around and say, well, do you do it every day? Well, what are you telling me to do it for if you ain't doing it every day? See, we need to watch. You see what I'm saying? Just throwing it out there. But he's telling, we need to pray. If you've been filled with the Spirit, you need to stir up. You need to stir that gift back up in you. We need to pray because I'm telling you, intercession is power. Guys, prayer is the work. Operating on somebody ain't the work. Before Casey cuts on me, I want him praying. I want to make sure that whatever part is supposed to come out, comes out, and he leaves all the rest. Amen. I want to know that. Because I had my knee that time. I had that meniscus, and they wrote on there. I had to write on this knee, no. I'm like, what you mean, no? They said to make sure they don't get on the wrong one. I think, I don't know, you mean y'all gave me the marker. I said, they made me write it. I didn't write no. I'm like, what in the world's that about? But you know what? If they tell you to write no, you better write no. Because you don't want to come out of there with a baby. They'll say, this is yours. Ain't no way this is mine. Ain't no way. Things, crazy things happen. So what we see here is this, is in this chapter 14, it says the one in verse 4, it says the one who speaks in tongues, or in a tongue, builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the congregation. And that's what this is about. There's nothing wrong with being built up. You need to be built up. But here's what he's saying. If everybody come in here, if I just got up here and just started preaching in tongues, y'all just need to go, oh, Nick, because you ain't going to understand a word I'm saying. It has to be teaching revelation. That's going to be a scripture I'm not going to get to. But it talks about you come with a hymn, you come with the music, you come with a word, you come with a prophecy, you come with an interpretation, you come with a teaching. You come, that's what this whole body is about, moving in the gifts. Not dominating in one thing, like we've seen in the past, where I've been in the past. It's not dominating one thing. It's what does the Father want you to have, because we're His people. Every day, or most every day, I'm definitely praying every day, but the studying, what do I bring? What portion? It ain't what I feel. What does the Father feel that we need? You know, I said this before. One thing I never wanted to do was be a preacher or a pastor. That was the last thing on my bucket list, okay? Matter of fact, that definitely wasn't in a bucket list. But the Father did what He always does, because He's got a great sense of humor, okay? He gave me a bucket, and that was in the list. That list was in it. But here's the thing. The thing about it is if I sit back, because I'm 60 years old. I started at 46. So I think that's when I started pastoring. When I started going back the other day, I almost had to get a brown bag and blow in that dude. Because I started to hyperventilate when I was thinking about how many Shabbats, how many teachings, how many times you had to study and come up with something. If I would have done that at 46 to figure out every week I got to do this, I'd have died. I'd had a heart attack right there trying to figure out, there ain't no way. I don't know. But you know what he said? Big Sean, it ain't about you. He said, it ain't about Moses. It ain't about Joshua. It ain't about you. He said, I call in a five-fold ministry. I equip. All you need to be is ready in season and out season. You need to have your nose in this book, and you need to have your knees on the ground, and you need to be communicating. You communicate, I'll take care of the rest, because guess what? You're just telling them what I'm already saying, what I've already said. That's what you're doing. You're not up there recreating something. There's not a book of Mark McClendon. There's a book of Mark, but I didn't write it. Okay? You see what I'm saying? That's not, so he was saying you can chill, because you don't have to come up with anything new. You just need to be able to understand and discern what we're doing today, not last year. What is he doing today in this congregation? What is he doing this today in the body of Messiah? Because I can promise you, he's doing it in other places around this world. Because he's moving like that, because he's sort of good like that. He can multitask way better than we can. So we see here that tongues personally builds us up, but he wants us to prophesy to be able to build up the congregation as a whole. He says, now I want you all... Is that what he said? Now I want you all to do what? Speak in tongues. And he's not talking about English or Hebrew. But even more to prophesy, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless something happens. Someone interprets so that the body, congregation, may be built up. So this is where you can see that tongues and interpretation equals prophecy. Because the whole idea is what? Is building up. It's building up the congregation. That's what it's about. Giving us words and discernment, and it comes in a variety of forms. Shabbat is important. Shabbat is the first of his feast. It is sort of, and I'm going to just say this, because I know you know this, and I'm preaching to the choir. Pesach, Passover. That's when he died. Shavuot, Pentecost. And the first, that's when the Torah was given. It's when his word was given. After his ascension, that's when what? The Holy Spirit was given. You sort of think these feast days are important? I mean, we're running around having alternative days and putting him in it, and we're glorifying it, but he ain't in that. He's in the days that he created. Look, he's in charge. He's the one that does the inviting to come to the table to eat. We're not inviting him here. He's inviting us here. We make it available, But he says, you make a place and I'll show up. He said, you build me a temple and I'll live in it. Because you know that temple in Jerusalem didn't belong to the Jews. It didn't belong to Israel. It belonged to who? Whose house was it? It was his house. David said, I want to make you a house. He said, you can't. You're a man of blood, but your son will. And he said, and I will allow me to have a house on this earth so that I and my presence may dwell among my people. Today he has a house. Hello, house. And he lives and dwells in us. And we got to get this. But here's the problem. When sin is in our life, or when we're battling whatever we're battling, and we're, whatever, throw it out there, whatever you want to call it, we mess up the power of the Holy Spirit using us. Because sin scrambles the communication. If we get sin out and we keep it out, then we can hear more clearly to be able to let him download into us whether he's telling us something. Let me say this. In Joel 2, it talks about dreams and visions. How many in here never dream at all and has never dreamed in your life? No, you dream. You still dream. The problem is you don't understand what the dreams mean. Because in the Western society that we live in, we're a superstitious people. In the Eastern culture, when people dream, they pay attention to what they're dreaming because they believe the Father's speaking to them. Us, we're like, man, it was bad pizza. You know, something was just wrong. You know. And sometimes it can be bad pizza. You know, it can be hormonal, yeah. But, you know, the thing about it is I do understand that. But the Father does give us dreams. Have anybody in here, I don't know how I got off on this, but look, y'all used to it, ain't you? When I was a kid, you tell me if this didn't work for everybody in here. When I was a kid, I had a certain dream. I was in my house. Now, you didn't have this dream, but you had one like it. Something was after me. And I run. And I was sweating running. And I wasn't making any progress. I invented the treadmill. I was running and I couldn't move. And my heart was beating out of my chest. And that big old booger was gaining on me coming down 63. Because where I was at, my house is where I was born and raised over here. Right at the end, I was at the end. I got to the end of the road. All I had to do is go down this road. Yeah, 613 runs right here because I live right here. And that road that runs right there, I'd make it to that end of that road. And I would run. I couldn't get past it. And that dude would get closer and closer and closer and closer until finally right before he got there, I woke up and I was glad. But he never got me. I dreamed that over and over and over again. I couldn't figure out what it was. Too many years later, I understand what some of these dreams are about. There were fears in my life that the Father wanted me to overcome. Sometimes when you have a dream where you're fearful and afraid, there's something in your life where you're fearful and afraid of, and the Father wants you to face your fear. He wants to help you, deliver you through that fear. And when I learned that, I don't have that dream anymore. Since I had Yeshua as my Savior, you know, at 13 years old, when I had him, I didn't dream that dream anymore. That was amazing. Now, I didn't equate it till way later, till I started studying and learning and understanding. But I studied about dreams, and I'll tell you this, 95% of our dreams are for yourself. It's not prophetic out for, he's talking to you as an individual. He's ministering to you about something in your life that's going on. He still does that. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that he doesn't still do it. And 5% can be where he may have something for somebody in the body. And he operates like that, still does. And so many times, we will have a dream about somebody. I know one time, I was in bed, didn't understand it. But he woke me up about 3 o'clock in the morning. If you ever get woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, you might as well pray. Because you ain't going back to bed. Amen. If you go back to bed, you fighting him. But he woke me up, and I didn't understand this. And there again, I was newly baptized in the Holy Spirit. I wasn't sure what was going on. But I was getting this picture about this person, not even in this country. And so I started praying. And I started praying in the spirit. I didn't know, but it was later than I realized when some minister had mentioned to me, you were praying about this, This was because somebody was in turmoil and needed prayer and was going through persecution. And I was like, you got to realize, you talking about wet behind the ears, I was wet behind the ears. And I was totally amazed. But the Father used that minister to tell me that. And you don't think I didn't know he, how did he know I dreamed that? He didn't know, and I wasn't about to tell nobody. How many people in here has told people you seen a flying saucer? You know what I'm saying? There's some things you just ain't telling people. You know what I'm saying? They send little white vans with these little white suits. Come pick you up. They just some things you just keep to yourself. I kept that to myself. I don't want my family to think I'm crazy. Now, I know y'all know I'm crazy, but back then, I was serious about not being crazy. Now I'm older, I think it just comes with territory. But the Father wanted me to know the next time I ask you to pray and the next time you know that it's of me. Because I didn't know it was of him. But that's all about training. These are power gifts. I don't know. But I do expect this. And I know you can do the same thing. That when we're in the world to come, whenever we're in the kingdom, Yeshua's ruling and reigning. It's just like what we've said, Rachel, about up here. All of these families and all these children in our treasure chest, people that don't have moms and dads and don't, they're orphans and they're widows and they're people that don't have, I don't care. You know, if somebody's 50 years old, and there's somebody's son or somebody's daughter that's in there. How many, we were able to hear a testimony from Eddie's dad. You got to hear the fruits of your labor, but there's not a lot of fruits of your labor. You may never hear, but one day you're going to hear somebody walk up and say, you pray for me. Because they're going to know, because in that day, we're going to know all things. We just know in part. We prophesy in part. We understand in part. And some of that part, we don't even know what part it is. But in that day, we're going to know. We're going to be like him, and we're going to know all things. And these people are going to know who was praying for them. And we're going to know. And they're going to come up and they're going to say, thank you for praying for me. You don't understand what I was living in. That's why it's so such a responsibility that if the Father wakes you up and has you to pray, don't ask why. Just pray. And that's why the Spirit is so important. Because most of the time you don't know what to pray. So I would just pray in the Spirit. And do you know, and this is just the way it works, I prayed for 45 minutes or longer. And I can't pray in English for 45 minutes, I'm just telling you. 5 minutes, I'm out of words. I got to do something different. I've been thought about everything I know to thought about. I'm just being honest. If y'all can pray longer than that, hallelujah to you. You need to teach me how to pray. But I can pray in the Spirit. I'm unfruitful. But there is, believe it or not, if you've never experienced this, I know you know if you've... There's a release that'll happen on you. There's a release that'll happen. You'll pray and you'll fight and you'll battle, you'll sweat, you'll cry, you'll do whatever. And you'll feel like, man, this ain't going nowhere. But you don't know what demonic forces that you're fighting against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. That's real, guys. That's what you're doing. When somebody, you don't know, but the Father, can he trust us to pray? Can he trust us if he wakes up our precious sleep that we can get up, knowing we got to get up and go to work? But he will do it. He has done it. But what happens? And I'm going to tell you what happens. I'm going to use myself as an example. Sometimes I'm just too tired. And sometimes I fight the temptation to get up and do what I'm supposed to do. Because I know what I've got going on in the morning, and I got my day, and I got this, and I got that, and I got this. And you know what? You do that long enough, and then he'll quit doing what? He ain't wake you up no more because you ain't getting up. That's sad. I'm old enough to tell you that I've done that. And that's sad. And I repent for that in Yeshua's name. That's sad. Because you don't know. So he's got to go wake somebody else up to do that. Because I'm so worried about my sleep and my wrinkles or whatever I'm worried about. You know what I'm saying? Getting all of my sleep ain't going to keep wrinkles off of me. It ain't keeping the hair on my head. So the thing about it is just get up. And I'm telling you this for this reason. He's going to start doing this to you. And when he starts doing these, because this is what he's doing. This is the time he's doing, because we're in training for reigning. Because I'm telling you, because when we came through the charismatic, I learned a lot there. but I learned a lot of wrong things there, and here's the reason why. It became prosperity. It became sow a Volkswagen, get a Cadillac. Sow a Cadillac and get you an airplane. Sow you an airplane, you get you some angel's wings. I don't know. In other words, it was about you give, and then you're going to get. Next, it became a competition. It became about getting stuff. It's more blessed than to give than to receive. But really, it turned in, it's more blessed to give because we're going to get better and bigger.
I found that if you don't stay in bed and you actually get up, that you're more rested with less sleep.
I know. Thank you for that. No, she's right. You're right. That is. You got something for me, too?
It's been a lot of years ago now, probably better than 30. Maybe 40 years. It's been a lot of years ago that I had a dream in the night, and I saw a little girl about 7 years old. And in the dream, she was huddled in a corner. I could still see it. She had long hair that needed to be trimmed, you know, and she was in a little cotton dress. But her little arms were covered in burns like someone had burnt her with cigarettes. And I couldn't see her face or anything. I knew I didn't know this child. But I got up and went to the living room, and I spent quite a while on my face in intercession for that child. 25 years later, I'm walking through the living room, and I had Daystar television on, and there was a woman giving a testimony, and she was repeating my dream. And I'm going, what? Well, I grabbed my computer and I emailed her. I said, I was praying for you. I mean, I was just taken aback from the whole testimony. She sent me back this little trite, you know, thank you very much, you know, kind of thing. And it hurt me because I knew she was the one I was praying for. And I just cried out to the Father and I said, Father, that was her. And he said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if she ever knows it was you. You know, and I know. So when we, like Mark was saying, we get these dreams, please heed them. Because you never know. It was 25 years later, and the Father allowed me to see the fruit of getting up and praying for a little girl.
That's awesome. Guys, I'm going to finish with this. The Father's not waiting to pour down dreams and visions. He's waiting on us to get our act together, to where we quit. But look, I'm just being honest with you. If you're lazy, you can forget it. This ain't for lazy people. Because I'm telling you, he's going to ask you to do something at the right before you sit down and eat your back strap, your deer meat. He's going to ask you to do something. Somebody's just cooked, and the steak just rolled off the grill, and the phone rings. That's what he's going to do. And because once you get in this, you watch, I promise you, you're going to have the best apple fritter that you ever had on your plate. And you got to go. And you know what's sad? A lot of times we'll say, boy, I wish that call would have just come a few minutes later. When you start doing that, that's the wrong attitude. But when we can turn around and purpose in our heart, and I'm just throwing it out there, guys. I'm talking to me first. When we can get ourselves in a position to where no matter what happens, no matter what time of the night it is, no matter what you got going on, no matter if you got the biggest, best deer hunt you've ever had going on or whatever, if you got tickets to a ball game or something like that that's cost you $165 and you just want to see them play, if something else happens to where somebody needs you because of a spiritual situation, you're going to be tested. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. Because the Father is going to know what is more important in your life, me and the people, or what you want to do with your pleasures. And I just hate to say, too many times we side with pleasure. We just do. Sometimes we can give it up, sometimes we don't. It all depends on what it is. Amen? And that's just the way things happen. Look, this is real. This is real. This ain't games. And I just, look, when he says that these are power gifts. Because I'm telling you, when somebody needs healing, you know, Ralph is going through taking chemo. Guys, can you say that that's no game? That's no game. I mean, that ain't just like he's going to the fair and having cotton candy. You know what I'm saying? He needs and he covets our prayers. Do you know when he needs and covers our prayers? Not just whenever he's there on Thursday and Friday hooked up to the machine. He needs it every day. That everything that's going on in his body, it eradicates and it kills that cancer in Yeshua's name. We want it to drive it out, whether it's by the Holy Spirit, whether it's by whatever the Father has allowed man to do. Whatever, all healing comes from him. But this is what's been chosen right now. But he needs your prayers. And he needs your prayers for strength. And you know what? He needs your prayers that he don't get sick. Chemo sort of kills what? Everything. And now you're in a time of year where down here in the South, everything's been going on, except happy days. You know, from the flu and bronchitis and all these other things, and when everything's killing. He needs a shield of protection, and he needs to know and feel. Do you know that if you pray, I promise you he can feel it? But if he ain't feeling nothing, guess what? We ain't praying. So don't forget Ralph. Don't forget the others that's going through tough times and things that's happening in their life. Because what is it all to do? It's all building up. That's the goal. Let's pray. Redeemer of Zion, the glory.